All over the world, wherever you are, welcome to Believe. My name is Nicholas Upchurch. Our website is believe.love. Catch us on iTunes at believeitunes.com and on YouTube, youtube.com/believeloveyou. We help to empower you. We want to help you to make more money, to take control of your life, to do things you've always dreamed of, to explore what true success might mean to you, to find your true purpose, to explore our universe, make you more healthy, and even get into some world news. But tonight, we have an amazing guest, Damian Lupo. Damian, over the last quarter century, has started and owned more than 30 different companies, including an insurance agency, a precious metals firm, a venture capital company, a financial consulting firm, and more than a dozen real estate investment and development companies. That is a lot. Damian, how are you doing, sir?
Nicholas, I'm doing great. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to be with you. It's an honor to be with you. Damian also, and we might get into this later, he's a founder of Yokido, his own martial art, and holds three other black belts, which who do you know that's done that? I don't know many people. That's really interesting. Damian is the CEO of Total Financial Control. He loves teaching and empowering people like you, whoever you are, wherever you are. Damian, in the category of money and business, you've obviously started and grown many companies. You probably started some from scratch. I've got two questions for you in the category of money and business. For somebody who's starting a business, number one, what do you recommend with your expertise? And then the second question is, somebody who's growing a business, they have an existing business, what are some current things you would recommend to them as well?
Nicholas, the first thing that I recommend, and it's the advice I would give myself if I had the time machine, it's going right out into the world and finding somebody with either gray hair or no hair. And I happen to have no hair, so
I have no hair also.
All right, so we qualify.
We have the same haircut.
This is perfect. It saves a lot of time, and you can learn a lot from people that know how to save time, because they get things done generally. So
you're right.
My thinking is that the first thing that anybody should do if they're starting out is find someone that's been there, that's truly done it. Not somebody that's academic where they just say, hey, I read this book and I can teach you what I read in the book. It's not about going to college and getting something there. It's about the people that have been through it, that have the emotional intelligence, not just the intellectual intelligence, but really have been in the trenches, have the scars. And those are the people that can guide you. And part of the reason that they guide so well is because we can have a lot more respect for them because they've been through it. And there's a deep-seated trust. It's not somebody saying, well, I learned in a book, this is what you do. And then you look at them and you go, yeah, but maybe that's not in real life what it's like. So I think that that's the first thing. It's what I need to do whenever I'm not doing it. And it's what gets me into trouble if I don't have it. It's part of my journey. When I cut those people out of my life, I got into a lot of trouble. And really, there's a different form of that for people that are already in business that want to grow, they want to expand, they want to accelerate, whatever it is. It's surrounding themselves by things like the mastermind groups that are flourishing out there, that are full of people that are beyond where we are. I mean, I want to be the dumbest person in the room, and I want to be the person with the smallest balance sheet in the room, that because the people are going to pull me up. We become the average of the people that we're around. And I truly don't want to be the smartest one or the richest one around. I think that just serves an ego, and that's not really very helpful if we're trying to expand or grow.
Sure, I can understand that. I think it's such a great thing what you've said. You basically are saying, you know, find a mastermind group, find people that you can trust, look at people with experience, and don't kind of skate on that. I know, you know, for just internet marketers starting out, there's like warriorforum.com. There's tens of thousands of internet marketers, and some people, you know, that have done it a long time, sometimes a little bit spammy, you know, some newbies and things. But, you know, so let me ask you this. If you're somebody just getting into business, how would you find the right people to look up to, in your opinion? And then if you're more experienced, you're like yourself, and you're a more experienced business owner or somebody who's had venture capital firms and sort of, you know, we've had some great people on that are some of the top business consultants in the world. You know, if you're at that level, how do you find a good mastermind group? So what would you recommend to the two sort of levels in terms of finding those people to look up to or those mastermind groups?
Well, I actually would take a step back, and it's one of the things that I missed the first 10 years of being out in the world and my professional career. I was creating a lot of financial wealth, many, many millions of dollars. But one of the things that I skipped, and I see this happen a lot, is I didn't really have a baseline for what my values were. And the reason that that was so important and why it's critical, why I do it now before I do anything, I know what my six core values are, and they drive all my decisions. The reason that that got me into trouble in the past, and why everybody should do this if you haven't, is because when you're finding the people that you're going to advice from, the groups you're going to be around, it helps to guide you into which relationships you should be in and the people that you're around. I basically modeled people when I had mentors in the early 2000s. I modeled their wealth and I modeled their lifestyle, but I didn't model their ethics and their morals because I wasn't really concerned with it. And what happened is I became them. I became very wealthy and I became like them with their lifestyle. I also became what they were under the hood, their ethics and morals or lack thereof. And so it got me into a lot of trouble and I didn't really recognize who I was or like who I was. Now I am very clear on what my values are, and everybody should know, so that when you're out looking for the people that you're going to model, that you're going to take advice from, you know that, okay, this person is, that their values are honesty, integrity, candor, the things that matter to you. And so you'll end up doing things that they would do. I think it's really important to start with that. And then you go out there and maybe you're starting out and Meetup is an amazing place, sure, where you can just go start Meetup, bumping into people and you'll find people that make sense to be around. That's probably the easiest, fastest way. And there's Meetups everywhere in the world. For more advanced people, you start listening to podcasts and you start hearing people that are out there that resonate with you, and you can find them on LinkedIn. And what's interesting is people reach out to me on LinkedIn. Not very many, but when they do, I'm generally interested in communicating with them, and I do. And so they have a new connection with me, and they heard me on some show. And there's a lot of people that are like that. I've reached CFOs, CEOs of major Fortune 500 companies by simply sending them a personal message, not a spam message, sure, but something genuinely connected and authentic. And people tend to respond to those. What they don't like is getting bombarded by people that are wasting their time. And if you show a genuine interest and fact that you're really serious, I think you're going to end up being able to reach through to people that can really support you at any level.
That's great. And of course, Meetup, you're referring, I think, to meetup.com, a really cool site. And I really do agree with you in regards to, you know, we talk a lot about how all of us, including myself, we can pay attention to details. So if you are reaching out to somebody on LinkedIn, make sure to maybe find out about their life, maybe their likes, their dislikes, some of the challenges they might be having. Maybe try to help them first, you know, without them even asking. Maybe throw out something that might help them based on a problem they have. Even if it's a business leader who's saying they might like to have more peace or be more peaceful, more mindful, and you might be an expert in that or something, and have something maybe to offer initially in your very brief intro email that you're giving first. I think that's an awesome idea. So that's some really good advice. And going forward, in terms of growing a business, are there any, like, obviously, if we talk about things we can't really take for granted, and I'm going to get back into the values because that's probably the most important thing you said. But a lot of people have trouble with tangible steps. I know I have, and usually it's because of fear, or it's because of there's some reason actually probably behind why we don't take action sometimes. But if you were to give somebody tangible steps to grow a successful business, kind of after you have the values, which is hard enough as it is, what would those tangible steps be in order, you know, just something general that's stuck out, maybe a thread that's gone through all of your business experience in terms of how to take action, to actually do things you need to do, to find out what the steps are and to actually do them?
Well, I can tell you that the first three things that I do now with any business, and the first three things that I didn't do or that I ignored until years later and it caused a lot of pain and anguish, was the numbers and the legal and the accountability. And so in the very beginning, like the company that I'm running now, the very first hire that we did was a coach, and it was somebody that could just keep us accountable, because we can be great at being accountable with ourselves, and there's a different level that you go to with the coach, and there's all different levels of coaches. There's coaches that cost you tens of thousands of dollars per call, and then there are those that you can do for almost nothing. And so having that accountability is key. the numbers are one of the things that messes people up, because if you don't know your numbers, if you don't know what's really going on, whether it's just your expenses, your income, your conversions, if you don't have your arms around those, and even if you do, you really shouldn't be spending your time with that. You should be out there creating and leading. And so having somebody doing those, giving those reports to you on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, right from the get-go. And a lot of times people wait. I know in my real estate company, I waited a couple of years before I really had those even in front of me, and I ignored those. And what happens is we end up making a lot of business decisions from the gut, and gut stands for gave up thinking. Really, we're not even thinking about the truth. We're just running that out, shooting from the hip and hoping it all works out. And then we live in a lot of fear because we're running our business out of our checking account oftentimes. And so just having an idea of what's really working. And sometimes the reality is what we think is working isn't, if we see the numbers. And the best decision is to stop. It's not to do more and work harder. It's literally to stop and rethink whether we should be in the business or that particular line. And then the other thing, the third thing was the legal piece, and really just having some type of legal support. And now we've got things like Legal Shield, where you can get legal assistance. It's essentially legal insurance. And that's a tool that people can use to have an attorney or a firm on retainer. I got into a whole bunch of trouble because I was the attorney 15 mm-hmm. years ago, and I'm not an attorney. It just means that I was pretending I was an attorney. And having an attorney that's there just to look at things in advance versus reacting is priceless, and you get to sleep at night. So I think those three things are the most powerful things people can do to start off with.
That's awesome.
After they have their mentor. But those three key pieces, and they don't have to cost a lot, but every pro has those in place. And so if we want to go from where we are to being a pro, you got to have those in place.
And is that LegalShield.com? Is that, because that's a new one for me. I actually haven't heard of that. I love that. So again, we're talking with Damian Lupo, who is the CEO of Total Control Financial at TotalControlFinancial.com. And Damian, we're going to talk later in the show more about Total Control Financial. But one of the things that I did see on your site is you really want to empower people. Actually, there's a core, and you talked earlier in the last segment about the core values you have, and sort of that is the most important thing you've learned even after generating millions of dollars. And a lot of times we talk about on the show true success. You know, that's a category we have, and that's in addition to money, or maybe even instead of money, or it goes hand in hand. But ultimately, like, maybe why we're on this planet are things that are, you know, deep inside, things that are bothering us, challenges. So when you get into sort of what true success is to you, and it can be the basis for everything we do, it can be the reason we're actually in this challenging life. We may have chose to come here. What would you say to somebody, you know, you want to empower people? How can people empower themselves and maybe, you know, kind of defeat some challenges they've had? And what kind of challenges have you had, and what's worked well for you in that category?
The first thing that we have to do, all of us, and there's no exception to this, is taking absolute responsibility. It's living with self-responsibility, where we let go of the blame and the justification and the victimhood completely. And it doesn't mean that we say that we're at fault for something tragic that happens, but it means that we're responsible for how we interpret it. And once we do that, we start to have control. The name of the company, being Total Control Financial, is all about control. And it's because we believe that once somebody says, I'm going to take control of my money or my health or my relationships or whatever it is, then they have the chance to actually do something different and live something different. Until that happens, it doesn't matter what we do, because there's still this little voice that gives us an excuse on why it didn't work. And it kind of paralyzes us instead of empowering us. So the fact that we go into a space of total responsibility raises the energy level. It changes the conversations. It attracts a totally different level of person in our lives, instead of just having the same old people. Because if we're stuck, there's probably a reason. And the people that are around us are probably helping us to be stuck. When we shift into self-responsibility, those people aren't going to want to be around, because they're going to be staying in their victimhood. So we're going to end up being around different people that are going to support us in a different way. And that is the one key that shifts everything, when you own your life completely.
So maybe thinking about all the things we are thankful of, as opposed to thinking about the things that we don't like, which is very tough. It's tough for all of us, because they're very tempting, and especially deep things. But taking responsibility for our thoughts, maybe trying to think about, you know, focusing on what we do like, finding the good in things, which can be very tough, even for myself, even knowing that I need to do that. So when something comes to you like that, you know, we all have things. I mean, what do you do to get back into self-responsibility? Is there anything you think or any technique that you might use that can help somebody, you know, especially with something really tough that they have implanted, maybe even in their subconscious, to kind of get back empowered into self-responsibility, into taking control and feeling like they can do it?
Yeah, the question I ask, and I wrote about this in my book Reinvented Life, where I said there's the one question that can take us into a space of consciousness in 15 seconds or less, and that's asking the question, what is true? And when we start asking that question, it shifts everything very, very quickly. And one of the other chapters is called Success Versus Fulfillment. And what I remember with my life was spending a lot of time on the success, and I was missing the fulfillment. So I had the success, I had the Ferrari, I had the American Express Black Card, all the trimmings and trappings of wealth, and I didn't have the fulfillment. And if I asked what is true, the truth was that I was lost. I was really good at being a good consumer, but I wasn't really good at being a good contributor or finding the circulation that is so powerful when you're on purpose, where you're giving and receiving, and it's this beautiful flow that happens. The truth was I didn't really know what my purpose was other than more money. And so if we're asking that question and we're really honest about it, then everything shifts because we see what's real right in front of us. If we're not asking what is true, then we'll fall into the trap around what feels nice or just those other things that are really false and they don't give us the deep sense of what our purpose is.
Sure. And we've talked about, you know, I've been interviewed on some shows myself. I say, hey, if Nikola Tesla's free energy worked out, which it might actually exist somewhere. Who knows? Who knows what's in Area 51, right? But if free energy was there and we didn't have poverty and some other technologies might come out where that can end all disease and we don't really need to worry about maybe money. We have 3D printers. If more advanced replicators are out, we can have objects sort of arrive. And then what do we do, right? And then our true purpose comes after survival. A lot of times I had a very similar story. I didn't make as much money as you, but you know, I wanted money, money, money. That's how we are raised in the United States. I got it. I lost it. Then I got a lot more. And then I was hit with, hey, I'm still angry. Why am I still angry? So let me ask you, Damien, like, what is fulfillment for you? What did you find that was really your true purpose? And what is fulfillment for you?
Fulfillment is teaching for me, and that comes in all these different forms. So one of the forms is martial arts. I love teaching. I love seeing people break through themselves where they find the truth in the dojo, in their life, their movements. I see that when I'm teaching finance, when I'm working with people on their money, and they see something. And really what it is, it's not about doing something for somebody. I love empowering people and seeing them where they get stronger, where there's this muscle of confidence. And in terms of financial freedom, a lot of people have really messed the idea of that up, where they think it's a pile of money. And really, in my mind, what financial freedom is, it's the confidence that you can create. Because if you believe in yourself and you trust yourself to be able to create, then nobody can ever take anything away from you that you can't recreate. And it just creates this peace and this calm. So my idea of fulfillment, what makes me happy, is spending time with people that are responsible and wanting to learn and change. Because there's a difference between just wanting to learn and not doing anything with it. And then there's this idea or this energy around learning and then implementing. And when I see that, it just gets me all excited and gives me goosebumps. So I love being in that space. I love seeing that. I love being a part of anything where that's taking place. And so I find myself spending all my time in those spaces.
Sure. And I was just in LA at Conscious Life Expo, and I'll give it a plug, consciouslifeexpo.com. And it's, you'd think it wouldn't be related to money and business, but actually it's all connected, because you're right. If I'm happier and feel like I can be more confident and more even, and you know, everybody has their own things they're working on, right? Then actually I will be able to create more. I will have more confidence. I will be able to take action. A lot of times we don't know. Somebody can give us a list of 10 things to do, and we can do this if we're hiring people. And why don't people do what we need to do? Even if somebody tells you what to do, we won't do it. So I think that's a beautiful thing what you said. And I'd love to, again, we're talking with Damian Lupo, who wrote the book Reinvented Life and also is the CEO of Total Control Financial. And check out their site, totalcontrolfinancial.com. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But in terms of health and wellness, Damian, you just mentioned you're the founder of Yokido. It's a martial art. You mentioned how it really helps you to center yourself, and you also hold three other black belts. If you'd like, talk more about martial arts and even Yokido and kind of that whole journey and what it did for you and what it can do for others.
Well, the martial arts piece is one of those special places where if we're lucky enough, fortunate enough to find that thing that just makes us smile being in its presence. I think it's a huge blessing and gift. And that's what martial arts has been for me. And specifically it was finding Aikido about almost 20 years ago. And then down the road, I found yoga and then I merged them together into Yokido. And what it represents for me is a space where there's deep presence. And the more that I'm there, the more present I am. And really that's where the only place that we can live. The fears and the anxieties come from focusing on the past or the future, and so what we really want is to find a way into the present, where we can actually be, where we can exist. There is no past that we can be in, and we can't live in the future. So the dojo is an amazing place for that, because the moment that you're not present, you're flying across the room, or you're upside down, or something's happening. And the more present we get, the more peaceful we find our lives in that moment or in general. So to me, that it's been a training on learning presence. And for anybody that, whether they've had martial arts or not, I think one of the most basic things about martial arts is just the breath. And this is in any form or any style, whether it's Aikido or karate or even yoga or meditation, it's all about the breath. And when we can really tune into our breath, there's something magical that happens, because it's the parasympathetic and sympathetic system, meaning that we can control it and it's automatic. We don't have to think about breathing and it's happening, but we can also do it. It's this other function of our body that we can control consciously, and we can actually change everything about our physiology if we focus on our breath and we start studying our breath. So if there's one thing to focus on and to learn about physiologically, biologically, health-wise, I would always say start with the breath, because everything starts there and really ends there, and it's always happening.
I would agree with you. I think it's really cool that you kind of merged martial arts and yoga. We actually are just signed a lease on a new studio and actually are going to have yoga classes there. So wearelove.love is a domain we just registered. So people, if they're in Miami Beach escaping the cold, they'll be able to come. The public can take classes, and we'll be doing some filming eventually of different shows and hopefully grow our network here. We have a couple other brands, one for men, one for women. So I love that you actually created Yokido and you hold three black belts. And what you said about the breath being the most basic thing, I agree. It's something I can do better. And I had a little bit of a journey where I was a little bit kind of in the same spot you were, a little bit having some money and trying to figure things out. Did this, you know, for me, it was necessity. I was like, I want to be happy. I'm really pissed off and I have no reason. I went to Colombia and Egypt. I saw people living in like huts and I'm like, why? I'm kind of like a jerk for being like angry. Like I have everything I need and I'm looking at people with nothing and they're happy and I'm angry. And, you know, it was actually a great blessing because of that anger. I was able to find some of these things. Was that your journey? Did you kind of come across some of these things to start to feel better and feel kind of more fulfillment and purpose in your life?
Yeah, Nicholas, I've had a very similar experience when it didn't really matter how much more I had, there was still that angst and the upset and the anger and things. And I do remember a couple of trips where, and I also remember a book, and the book's called Wherever You Are, There, Wherever You Go, There You Are. I was thinking about my trips to Fiji and to Africa, and I remember going to a leper colony in Fiji and going to this island, and there were these kids playing and happy, and they had nothing, and they were far happier than the kids in the United States or in most Western countries that are addicted to their devices and they're really not connected. And I remember thinking, wow, okay, what is it that I'm missing? Because it's not more stuff. I'm missing the connection, the authentic connection. And I think in general, society is missing that. And when we're connected, it's like when we spend time in places that are old world and like Italy or these different places. It happens to be one of my favorites.
I love Italy.
People spend hours connecting. Their meals last hours. You don't think they get anything done, and yet their lives are very fulfilled. And we may work 100 hours a week in Western society, and yet how connected and how fulfilled are we? It's a question of connection, and really, where do we have that in our lives? Are we being conscious about how we're finding those spaces to go into and be, or are we doing it a week, a year when we go on vacation, trying to rekindle something that should have been there every day?
Sure, I would definitely agree. I've definitely been in both cases where I sort of was in a meditative state for a while, and then being an A-type personality growing up, thinking that, you know, I need to have more condos, more of this, more. I mean, I thought all of that, and I'm proud of that, because that's part of how we realize, you know, we can open different things, open different doors for different people. But you're totally right. I think I love Rome. I think it's a beautiful city. And let me ask you, in terms of Africa, you said, what are some of the things you saw there, and how do you think we can have more gratitude when it comes to, you know, we talk about world news. A lot of times people and everybody, we all have the right to protest, and I think people should. But a lot of times maybe it's hard for even me to see the bigger picture of everything going on and how much we do have. Even talking about this reminds me to do it more first. It starts with me doing it. But you go to a place like that, what are some of the things that you saw, and how do you think that we can be more thankful? And even with everything going on in our country, try to turn things into a positive direction and be more thankful, and maybe help people out as well that might be in other places. And I think billions of people live on like less than a dollar a day, right?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, what we have, our version of poverty in America it's unbelievable, because it's so much bigger, it's so much wealthier than the vast majority, billions of people in the world, and what they actually are living on. I don't know how it happens, how it's even possible, and yet they are. And then there are a lot that aren't. And my first experience arriving in Cape Town in Africa, when I went over there, I remember going to the shanty towns, going through them, and it was just miles and miles and miles and millions of people that were living basically using scraps of trash and things to house themselves, and it was hand to mouth. And I think that's one of the most powerful things about traveling. And what I always like to suggest to people, even though I don't think parents like it when their kids are going off to college, my suggestion is let your kids go and let them see, encourage them or send them or take them, get out there and see this stuff. Because once you're out there, you do have a different level of gratitude. It's especially valuable for families that already have financial wealth, for kids to see that. But all of us can benefit from being out there and seeing how most of the world is. I think we would stop protesting some of the stuff that we protest, that we get so angry about, if we realized how much we actually had. And I don't know that we can academically understand that. We have to feel it. And you feel it when you're in these places around the world where you look in the eyes of someone that has nothing, and yet they're smiling back at you. And you realize, wow, what am I really complaining about? And it's like this instant gratitude. My life is so easy. And so like, what could I possibly ever complain about ever again? That can happen with one trip and have one experience with other human beings. It also takes away a lot of the anger there's a lot of conflict in the world that's based on people not seeing other people as people. They see them as enemies. And when you come face to face with people, there's a shift, because you realize, wow, that's another human being. It's, you know, he or she is really just me. It's the same. And that, I think that helps to bind us together as humans. And it takes away a lot of the anxiety and a lot of the conflict that we're so used to seeing if we just watch the crisis news network or something.
Of course. And maybe that's because of ratings. Maybe there's other reasons. But for some reason, you know, of course, the military is doing what it needs to do. They have a huge budget. It's a whole system wrapped up within itself of $1 trillion a year. And, you know, there's a lot of great intention in terms of keeping people safe and things, but also there's a big business. It's the biggest business in the world is the military. And, you know, over time, there definitely have been things where it's been helpful. And hopefully maybe we can move that to space and sort of kind of, you know, move some of that industry away from the inner turmoil here, and hopefully in a positive way to space. I think maybe if there's something else out there, they might make sure it's in a positive way so we don't blow other other, you know, create rifts in the universe. But yeah, physicists have proven that everything is connected, but still, things can challenge us. I get, even though I know we're all space and time is connected, if somebody comes at me, it can be difficult to be nice all the time, but I think you have some great advice. Again, we're talking with Damian Lupo, his website, totalcontrolfinancial.com. He just taught us about gratitude, and really what I heard is feeling it. Feeling it is important. Going, and my mom would have freaked out if I would have, but she freaks out with everything, right? She's watching CNN or some Fox and MSNBC, all of them too much. They're kind of all together in a way. But Damian, in terms of your company, Total Control Financial at totalcontrolfinancial.com, is the stock market rigged, Damian? What can people do to empower themselves, and what's going on with the stock market?
Yeah, Nicholas, the first thing people can do is take their head out of the sand and own the fact that their money and their finances, their idea of retirement is their responsibility. And for me, that means getting off the Wall Street roller coaster. It means saying, I'm not going to have all my assets or my money put into somebody's hands that's going to make money every year, whether I lose money or make money. And they're going to say, it's up to me.
Don't worry about it. I'm so excited to talk to you. So you're saying if it's up to you,
it's up to me.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So really
that's actually a good quote. Future,
yeah, you know, I love that quote. I just couldn't figure out what the heck it was. It's in my head.
It's a tongue twister.
It is.
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. The idea there is that for most of us, we've been brainwashed into this idea that if we're going to have wealth, we've listened to the Dave Ramseys and the Susie Ormans of the world, and they said, just hand your money off to the Wall Street machine and everything will be fine. Just wait 40 years. And that's just not true. It's a lie. That system flourishes because people hand off their money, and because the government sets up rules to push people towards that system, that are the rules that are written by that system. So my company was focused on, why we were built, why it was founded, why I'm so passionate about this, is because there's a way for people to exit that thing where they can take control of their money. And the only reason people don't want to do that is because they're scared they're going to make a mistake. And so the other part of this is not only empowering people with the tool to be able to pull their money out of that system and then create the financial future that they really want, it's to educate them on options for what they can do with that money. And really, once you have the options and the tools and the confidence, then you can write your own ticket. You go from being in the passenger seat or the back seat of your car, or maybe even in the trunk if you're in the dark, to the driver's seat, and you get to drive that car wherever you want it to go. And then it becomes up to you. And so that's the focus. That's the idea in my mind that is far better than any put your money into something for 40 years and get 8%. That's all basically BS.
Right. Hopefully, so, if it doesn't crash when, you know, I mean, listen, it's exactly. So crazy right now. And I thought I almost shorted the stock market. And we've had MC Lobster on. He's interviewed Jim Rogers and great guy Chris Martinson and some people like yourself that are real experts. And I don't even know what to do. I mean, I have a little bit of money, but it's like right now I thought the stock market was going to go down 3 times. If you look at the past 20 years, you can see the graph. It seems like it's going to crash, and now it's going up more. You wonder if they're just pumping it up more for an even bigger crash, negotiating some kind of interesting treaties with the insurgent populace. Who knows what's going on there, right? But the question is, what can people, like, if we go to totalcontrolfinancial.com, what should people do with their money? Because there's so much fear. We don't know when things are going to crash. They actually are going up more. More people are getting rich. What's going on out there? What should people do?
Well, what I think what people are doing is they're getting rich based on the idea that a green arrow makes them rich. And if people watch the news and there's a report on the financial markets, you see a green arrow and it says the Dow has hit a new all-time high. It's over 20,000. It's up 100 points. People go, I'm richer. And then you know what they do? It's great. It's called the wealth effect. People take that idea that they're getting wealthier and they go out and they spend more money. And usually they spend it because they're borrowing more. So this is really helpful to the financial system, and it's really helpful to the banks by them being able to issue more credit and putting people in more bondage. So it works to the benefit of these systems, but what it does is it puts people in shackles because now they're stuck inside the Wall Street machine because that's where their wealth is, and they're stuck behind the debt that they think that they can handle because they're wealthier. So to me, it's really benefiting one system, and it's really putting people in harm's way. And so I don't necessarily think that when the markets are going up, that's a good thing. What I see there is I see a bubble that is way overdue. And mark my words, it will happen. There will be a crash and it's going to hurt. And in all likelihood, I listen to people, whether it's Jim Rogers or Harry Dent or the people that are smart and they understand these cycles, that it's a matter of time. On the other hand, I also listen to people like Peter Diamandis, who wrote Abundance and is doing things like asteroid mining. I mean, the 10X type of thinking that he does with his XPRIZE projects and things. So there, you can go back and forth. The reality, though, is that we are in an artificial market. And so if we just want to talk about the truth, the truth is we're in a bubble. And something has, you have to be aware of that and not think that thing is going to go up forever. And right now, people think that it is. And if you stay on that roller coaster, it's going to go back down and it's going to be painful. So it's time to really rethink that and probably take a pass or take a time out for a little while and let this thing go to rational space.
Yeah. And even during the debates, I remember Trump was saying we're in a bubble and he knows maybe it was going to crash during his presidency if he won. So he wanted to maybe say that ahead of time so that he didn't get even more flack for all of that. So and, you know, some of it maybe he deserved for saying some things. But anyway, I think it's been interesting. It will continue to be interesting, especially if they cut the business tax rate and things like that. Although what I'm hearing is that's just kind of, it needs to be, even that's not going to necessarily help or save us from this, what you're saying, from multiple sources to sit on the sidelines. Now, if we go to totalcontrolfinancial.com, tell us more about your services and like actually what we can find on that site. I'd love to know.
What you're going to find on the site is some education that you're going to find a copy of my book and the stuff inside the book that talks about the QRP. And really what this is, it's the tool that allows you to take your money out of Wall Street, out of 401ks, out of IRAs, and without being penalized or taxed or anything, get it into your hands to be able to invest how you want to. That's what we help people do.
I see.
And we don't take the money to where we're investing it. We're not acting like one of the financial advisors that's going to sell you a bunch of other products. What we're going to do is we're going to give you the tool to where you get to choose what you invest in. And then we talk about the things that we like. I mean, I like real estate. I like precious metals. I like things that are real, that can't be manipulated. And so I tend to talk about them and I write about them. And there's a lot of education. I don't talk about the stock market other than saying I think it's rigged. It's a great space for somebody that's going to be selling products there, but it's not good for the consumer. And I mean, how can you possibly win in that game when you have artificial intelligence that's doing high frequency trading millions of times a second in front of you and making money off of that? How are you supposed to compete against it? You can't. That stuff's going to beat the crap out of you. So I don't like that system. The tool that we provide gives people an option to exit, to take their money out of that system and be able to drive their own ship and make their own choices. So at that point, they start doing what makes sense to them. And hopefully we can educate them and give them some options and some alternatives like real estate and metals that would make more sense, that they can actually determine their fate and control it.
What's going on with, I have two questions regarding both real estate and precious metals. So to begin with, in terms of real estate, that's, you know, Miami, we see some stagnation at the top. I did this for 5 years. I had a brokerage. I had five condos, you know, before 2008. I was very young, and then I got caught. I was all in 2008. It wasn't a good time to be all in. But up until that, it was fun, you know, but it was fun, but it wasn't real, right?
That's
so
right.
What's going on with real estate now? Should people look for smaller houses to flip and smaller deals? What would you do in terms of real estate at this moment, 2017?
Well, the thing that we have to realize is that people are always going to have to live somewhere. I mean, may be cliche, but people have to live somewhere. There's a huge shift because of technology and how the millennial generation is operating. They're operating as tribes. They operate from their home. They want to be on their devices. They don't really necessarily want an office, although sometimes they want to start off in the corner office. But there's a different mentality. Everybody is still going to need to live somewhere. And you're going to have 80 million millennials that are going to be out there looking for places to live. They're probably mostly going to be renting places because they tend to want to rent and not be stuck somewhere. They want the flexibility and the freedom. Grant Cardone had a recent article about this, and I completely buy into it, that if you're going to go after real estate, the most important thing to do is find things that are going to continue to produce cash flow. It's the idea that flipping is a good long-term plan, to me, is psychotic because it's really just a job. Maybe you can make money in it.
Yes.
Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. The reality is you only make money once. And when you go out there and you have a business, which is called a giant complex, an apartment complex, then you've got something that's going to pay you the rest of your life. And there's a piece of financial freedom in that. So those are the type of real estate projects or things that I like to look at and the ones that I'm interested in. The houses, to me, it's just another job. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to spend money on something unless you're going to be a professional developer. And that's a totally different game. But in terms of investment and financial freedom, the place for that, to me, is so the place that people have to live. You can stop working in an office, but you're not going to stop living under a roof. So finding places for people and creating those type of opportunities for people creates a value for you and them, and it's long-term sustainable.
I like that. I like the apartment building idea. In fact, I'm from the Midwest originally. I know you're in Austin. I'm from the Midwest originally. I escaped to Florida with the snow, right? But up there, you know, there are apartment buildings and things people can get in, and it's like, you know, the prices are pretty low. You look at some parts of Indiana, Ohio, and you gotta, you know, you gotta go to totalcontrolfinancial.com to really learn more about what you're doing. But all I can verify is that in some places, actually the pricing, you could get a two bedroom here for $1 million in Miami Beach, or you could go to Michigan and get an apartment building for $1 million. And it sounds like that could be long-term a better deal depending on the area and what's going on and the building itself. And there's a lot of things to check out, but I love that. In terms of money and business, Damian, another category I want to talk to you about is precious metals. You just brought it up. Gold, this whole thing with gold is very confusing to me. I've almost bought gold numerous times because you hear, you know, I was a big Ron Paul fan. I think he got bamboozled out, you know, many ways. It was fascinating. And, you know, in many ways, he was a kind of against the Republicans. He was kind of against some of the, you know, sort of like a common sense guy. And people have different opinions. That's okay. But he was big into the gold standard. And there's this whole sort of fear thing regarding the money, you know, market's going to crash. You need to have gold and peg the dollar to gold, which I don't think maybe is ever going to happen. But I also kind of hear that the banks kind of sandbag it and they mess with the gold market and they might be able to manipulate it at any time. There may be hidden gold in Indonesia. I hear things like the United States told Germany that their gold is missing. Who knows, you know, extraterrestrials might have it. You don't have to say that. I'll say, who knows what happened to the gold? There's tons of gold missing randomly. What in the world is going on with gold? Like, what should people do about gold, and what should people do with precious metals in general?
Buy them.
I mean, buy them. Okay.
Point blank, buy them. There's something we have to realize, and it's, there's a lot of ideas, there's a lot of theories, but the truth is major central banks around the world, including China, India, and Russia. Are all accumulating massive stockpiles of gold. That's China, right, is buying everything it can. It's mining and then keeping most of the gold in its country. There is something that's going on, because all of the currency right now, the US dollar, the yen, the RMB, the euro, all of these things are fiat, meaning that they're just printed out of thin air. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is eventually every currency goes to zero. Ron Paul used to say this. He still does.
Yeah.
And everybody that's savvy financially, that understands currencies and economics, understands the same thing. Currencies that you print out of thin air, like all of these, eventually go to zero. What doesn't go to zero is gold. It never has. It never will. It's got intrinsic value, and there's a reason that you want to have some of it. It's part of it's a hedge. Part of it's the potential that it goes through the roof when we're looking for value globally. There's a reason that China is putting billions and billions, hundreds of billions, if not trillions, into gold, because they understand the value. And they also, there's a deep possibility that they end up backing their currency, the yuan, by a partial or full gold at some point. Should that happen, for them to start dominating the international currency system, it changes everything. And what it does immediately is it makes gold a lot more valuable. It makes the dollar and every other currency that's not based on gold a lot less valuable. So at the very least, it's worth hedging somewhat, having some type of our asset base in metals. And the thing that most people don't realize is that silver is actually more rare than gold in the amount that's available above the surface of the earth. And if you think about this for a second, it's a little funny, because gold is 50, 60, 70 times more expensive in terms of dollars than silver, and yet there's less silver. So it may make sense for people to think about accumulating some silver too, and we're consuming it. It's in everything. It's in electronics, it's in medical clothing because it's antibacterial. It's being used for everything. And we mentioned free energy with Nikola Tesla. And the silver is being used in things like solar panels, which are becoming cheaper and they're being consumed more. So is it a good place to have some money? Without a doubt. There's no question in my mind. Every single person should have some. And it doesn't take more than $20 to get involved in silver. So there's really no excuse to not have some. And there's never a better time than today. Maybe 10 years ago would have been great. But right now is an absolute great time for people to start accumulating that and just having that for who knows what happens. But there's not a downside to having some of that in your back pocket and in your closet.
Yeah, and you can get that legal tender, you know. You can get silver coins, gold coins, Canadian maple leafs, and all sorts of... And China, they own minerals all over the world. I mean, they've gone to Africa, and you're right about what you're saying. Russia, they kind of got kicked out of a financial system by us at in the United States, and they've been stockpiling gold, and it's been very interesting. I was in California, and again, it's more... people that are more likely to be Democrats. And one guy was a very intelligent guy, actually. I was surprised. He's saying gold has no intrinsic value. We've just created the value, which in a way is true. But the problem is that what he's not saying, maybe I'm sure he's thought about it. For some reason, he didn't say it, is that all of these major governments are stockpiling it. That's the part that does give it an intrinsic value, because for some reason, if that's what they're holding as their hedge against fiat currency, then that's what we could as well. So let me ask you this, in terms of Bitcoin, in terms of things like that, what are your feelings on, I don't know what they call those, cryptocurrencies? I know there's some Silicon Valley guys, the Facebook twins, and people investing, kind of creating companies around Bitcoin. What are your feelings on Bitcoin?
I think it's an amazing technology, and it's funny because that my friends in the precious metals world that look at it go, we don't understand it, and what's it based on? It's based on nothing other than just dots and bits and bytes, and there's nothing backing it up. The interesting thing, and I think this is it's eventually going to go somewhere. The more exciting thing to me is the blockchain, which is this immutable, impermutable system of keeping track of ownership of things. And so it's built on the blockchain system. I think that there's something that we should all be paying attention to there. And what I really enjoy is that it really resonates with my sense of my most valuable, my most important value, and that's freedom. And when you've got a system like Bitcoin that is totally private and it's between people that are doing transactions, that to me really resonates. There's no government, there's no organization that can influence or control me or gets to be a part of my private business. So in terms of liberty and freedom, I love the idea of Bitcoin. I think it definitely resonates with that philosophy with liberty. So it's I'm not going to claim to understand the intricacies of it. I'm not that
it's
smart.
So volatile too, right? I mean, it's going up and down. It's what do you think about that as an investment? Is it worth putting any? My friend likes it, and he's somehow made money. I don't know, but it seems to like drop $100 in a week sometimes. It's like,
yeah. I was over in Europe this last fall, I was spending some time with the Institute of Crypto Anarchy in Prague, and there was a lot of discussion around the Bitcoin and the volatility, and we could see live monitoring of the markets, and This is part of something that's in its infancy. So there are issues that have come up, and in the past, I think a lot of the volatility had to do with some hacks or some influence outside of the system with speculation. I'm not going to claim to know what has influenced that, or it doesn't. To me, it's a lot safer, it's a lot sounder than a currency that can be manipulated. I like the fact that the big banks of the world can't go and mess it up. They can't influence it, and that they can't print it. That actually makes me really happy that it's very limited by its nature and how it's created. So for me, it's an interesting alternative. I trust it more than I do the paper currencies that are made up out of thin air.
I would agree. What do you think about the government being able to track people's transactions with Bitcoin? Can they track them? I've heard that it's still like it is personal between two people, but every transaction is recorded somewhere. Is that good or bad? Did you hear anything about that over there?
Well, all the transactions are recorded. They're on the blockchain. They're on the ledger. So everything so you can't manipulate something once the Bitcoins transfer from one person to another or one entity or whatever, they move around. even if a government, and I don't know the answer to this, even if the government could track something, what they're going to track is they're going to see between two parties or on a ledger. They're not going to know who it is or what it's for necessarily. And so I like the fact that there's the anonymity, that there's the privacy, and that's part of why it was built. It was so that it was private, so that there's a sense of freedom. If it was something where the government could just watch and see and track, I don't think you'd have as many people using it or being a fan of it as you do.
Well, thanks, Damien. So it's been an honor to speak with you. What would you like to leave our audience with? You know, your website is totalcontrolfinancial.com. You help people to take control of their money, kind of get out of the rigged stock market and look at some alternatives so you don't end up at retirement age with nothing in your 401k. People put things in retirement accounts. But in general, just in terms of in life and whatever you'd like to talk about, what would you like to leave our audience with tonight? I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I would. My thinking is that it's more important for people to realize that if they want to have financial freedom, if they want to have a future that's by design, that's not full of fear and anxiety, really it's up to them, because it's not about a PhD or an MBA, or to me people have created this glass ceiling in terms of what wealth is and what they can create. And if they're willing to own their life, if they're willing to be responsible, then there's an opportunity for them to create really anything that they want. It's a choice. And once they start to develop it, it does take time. And I think people are looking for so many hacks and they're looking for shortcuts. And if they'll commit to learning, there isn't a person out there that can come in with an excuse that I would buy as to why they can't do it. You can start off with nothing and create anything you want, especially if you're in a country like America or many countries around the world, Western civilization. You've got that option, and an excuse is really just you being lazy. And there's an opportunity if you don't want to do that to create something. It's a choice, and I believe that everybody has that choice, and it's just a question of when, if they're going to do it.
Thank you very much. And people, everybody listening to this, believeiTunes.com. We almost all have iPhones. I think there's 90 million iPhones, and those cost $700. Almost all of us are rich and have some ability to do something. I can do a lot more too. So I appreciate Damien tonight helping us to believe in ourselves, to take control of ourselves, to be self-reliant, to make things happen. And Damien gives you some tools to do that at totalcontrolfinancial.com. Buy his book there, Reinvented Life. And subscribe to us on iTunes, believeiTunes.com. We want to help you to do things you've never thought possible. It's been an honor tonight to be with you, Damien. Our website is believe.love, and we hope to talk to you later as we grow, and it's been a real honor.
Thank you, Nicholas. It's been a pleasure.